Chapter 12. I watched Quan for any hint of emotion, but he stood with folded arms and a blank expression as the elevator sped further underground. I'd just saved the guy's life, so surely he wasn't really about to do anything crazy. The presence of the sharp gun hitched on my shoulder comforted me. But I told myself I was being ridiculous. Quan would never do anything to hurt Haewon, and he'd really come around to liking me. I was pretty sure of it anyway. The ride came to a stop, and through the glass doors all I could see was darkness. My palms started to prickle with a few beads of sweat as I stared at the glass elevator doors.
"Here we go,"
Quan said calmly, and the doors slid open. He stepped out of the elevator, and part of me was tempted to slam the button to take me back upstairs. But I had to trust him, even if my imagination had run slightly wild. This guy was going to be my father-in-law soon. I stepped out onto a black-tiled floor, and I could see there was a large door right in front of us. It was painted matte black, just like the wall around it, which made it almost impossible to see from inside the elevator. There were no lights in the small platform between the glass and the black door, and Quan reached into the inside of his jacket and then pulled out a key. Unlike the key cards, it was an actual metal key, and he carefully fitted it into the lock. There was a click, and Quan turned the black handle before he looked over at me.
"I want you to have a gift," he said.
"Oh," I said, unsure of what to expect. "Thanks? You didn't have to do that. I'm just happy to—"
"You can choose whichever one you like," Quan said,
and then he pushed open the door and stepped back to let me through. A million thoughts raced through my head before I took a step. Could he have trained dinosaurs down in the basement? Maybe he had a lab full of scientists who'd been working on turning them into super soldiers to work for us. I was slightly afraid there was going to be a room full of his men, and I'd be expected to pick my own butler to run around after me. Whatever it was he had hidden down there didn't seem to make any noise, at least, and I took a breath before I stepped inside the mystery room. There weren't too many times in my life where I'd been completely speechless, but when I stepped into that room and Quan hit the lights, my jaw hit the floor. The space was enormous and made of black-tiled floor with bright white walls. There were fluorescent lights on the ceiling which lit up the contents of the room, and I tried to take in what I was looking at, but I didn't know where to look first. My eyes just scanned over rows and rows of the most expensive-looking cars I'd ever seen. There must have been about 30 cars in total, and every one of them was somehow more badass than the last. I didn't realize how much of a car guy I was until that moment, and I suddenly wanted to sit inside every single one of them and take them for a test drive. "What the fuck?" I breathed, and Quan chuckled as he came and stood beside me.
"This is my garage," he said. "It is my pride and joy."
"How?" I asked. But I couldn't find the words to finish the question as I stared at the gleaming vehicles. From where I stood, I could see Porsches, Lamborghinis, and others I didn't even recognize. Most of the cars were black, but there were a few dark blues, and even a purple toward the back.
"People sometimes owe me favors," Quan shrugged. "And I like cars."
I stared at the man open-mouthed, and Quan laughed a deep, gravelly laugh. "I feel like I'm dreaming," I said as I shook my head. "This cannot be real. I've never seen a more expensive room."
"Come," Quan gestured. "Have a browse and choose your favorite."
There is no way I can take one of these," I stuttered as we walked forward. "This is insane. I mean, I appreciate the gesture, but holy shit. I'm just a guy—"
"A guy who saved my daughter's life," Quan interrupted. "A guy who saved my son's lives and my own. I think that is worth a bit of metal with a loud engine."
My head felt light as we approached the first car, and I tried to make sure not to touch it since it was probably worth more than the entire base. It was a slick black color and had a rounded hood with silver-plated mirrors.
"The Pagani Huayra,"
Quan said as he gestured to the car.
"The doors fold upward, a feature I enjoy."
"Whoa," I muttered. And Quan leaned through the rolled-down window. He reached in to hit a button beside the wheel, and then the car made a gentle beeping sound, and the two front doors started to move up into the air rather than to the side.
No way, I laughed, as they swung up into the air, and it looked like the car suddenly had a pair of wings.
The inside of the vehicle was all black leather, and the dashboard had gold detailing.
Have a seat, Kwan offered,
and I didn't even know what to say.
You can't be serious, I grinned. This isn't real. Try it out and see, Kwan said,
and I swung my gun off my back as I climbed into the driver's seat.
Holy crap, I groaned, as I sat back in the most comfortable chair I'd ever touched.
The leather was firm, and the backrest seemed to mold against the curves of my shoulders. I reached out to the steering wheel and gripped both sides as I shook my head in disbelief. I felt like James Bond, but a million times cooler. And I didn't even know who would own a car like this other than Kwan. Maybe billionaires and mobsters, and mobster billionaires were the only people who could ever have a similar vehicle. And here I was, joining the club.
Come, Kwan grinned as he leaned inside. There are many others to see.
I stepped out of the car and followed Kwan as he slowly wandered over the black tiles. I couldn't comprehend how much money was in the room, and each car I passed was more impressive than the last.
You are a skilled fighter, the Korean man said as we wandered. Where did you learn how to fight?
I just kind of learned as I went, I said, with my eyes glued to every car we passed. I mean, my dad taught me how to shoot back in the States, but I mostly had to teach myself.
Impressive, Kwan said. And you taught the ladies how to fight as well.
Haywan and Becca, I nodded. Kat was a soldier, so she was already trained up.
And the other? Kwan asked.
Adhara came ready for battle, too, I grinned. Good thing she came around to be on our side, because you've seen the weapons she has on her.
Yes, Kwan said thoughtfully. I suppose it is a good thing she met you. Who knows what would have happened if she encountered a man with less honorable intentions.
I wanted to soak up the compliments, but it was hard to focus on anything other than the cars. We stopped beside a Porsche 912 Turbo S Cabriolet, which I only recognized because my buddy had been obsessed with them back before the world went to hell. It was another slick black number, with dark red detailing on the bumper and wheels. The roof was down, and the inside was all brown leather. It even smelled expensive as I leaned in to examine it.
This is so nice, I breathed. It is a limited edition, the crime lord chuckled. Only one made with that color and interior. I did a favor for a Volkswagen shareholder, so he had this built for me in Zuffenhausen.
Damn, I sighed. I wouldn't mind pulling up to a party in one of these.
Well, then have it, Kwan offered. You like this one the most.
Well, but I stuttered, and Kwan waved a hand.
Please, he said. You have brought my daughter back to me. A car is nothing compared to the gift you have given me. You make her happy.
I stared down at the Porsche and shook my head. I really can't, I said. It's too much. Besides, where would I drive it to? There isn't exactly much point taking such an amazing car out for a sunny afternoon in Dino Country.
I trust you will deal with the problems of the world, Kwan replied with a simple shrug. If anyone is going to save the world, I think it will be you, Jason. The car is yours. When all of this is over, you take my daughter on nice trips with it. Your other women, too. There is room, if they squeeze in back.
He reached into the glove compartment of the car and pulled out a set of keys that he threw to me. I caught them with a dumbfounded look on my face, and I felt like a kid who had just received a whole toy factory for Christmas. Just like that, the awesome Porsche was mine. Now, I knew Kwan was not someone to spare feelings, and he wouldn't have brought me down to the basement if he didn't genuinely want me to have one of the cars. There was no reason for him to even show me the room existed if he didn't want to. So even though my innards were flip-flopping in giddy knots, I kept my shit together, pocketed the keys on the inside of my jacket, and let the vision of taking a drive in the sun with the roof down drift into my head. The girls could take turns going on day trips with me, or we'd all pile in with their soft thighs wedged together. And of course, I would be the coolest dad my kids could ask for when I picked them up from school in this ride. I guess I have a Porsche then, I grinned, and Quan laughed.
It looks like you do, he nodded. Perhaps it was worth all of those dinosaur fights.
It feels like it now, I said. It was harder to stay positive when I had two Spinosauruses chase me down the street at once.
Those ones are big, Quan nodded. We had three T-Rexes on the island at the start of all this. Two of them have been killed, and we haven't seen the other one in weeks.
Have you seen any mixed herds? I asked. Back in England, the dinos all teamed up with each other and attacked as one.
I have seen that, Quan stroked his chin. At first, they all seemed stupid enough. They stayed with their own kind, but that has changed. They are evolving to become more successful hunters.
It's crazy to think back a few weeks, I said. I was getting stressed out about exams and planning trips to the movies.
It will be like that again, Quan said,
and his voice had a softness I hadn't heard before.
One day soon, you will be picking a movie to see. There will be an end to this war. There always is.
I grinned at the Underground King, and he tapped the side of the Porsche.
Let's have a wander, he said. There is something else I would like you to see.
I had no idea what else could possibly be down in the basement, but I followed Quan as he led me toward the back of the showroom. As we got closer, I could see there was a well-disguised door within the white wall. We passed the last row of gorgeous cars, and Quan pressed his shoulder against the hidden door. Then he flicked on a switch on the wall as he stepped inside, and I followed him into an armory packed floor to ceiling with various guns and knives.
Whoa,
I breathed as the door closed behind me.
You really do have it all down here, don't you?
I have a lot, Heiwan's dad said simply. But not too much. Just the right amount for me.
I tried so hard not to snort at the statement, because this was just a shitload of weaponry. I knew none of the guns would be as technically impressive as Adhara's, but the sheer number of them was astonishing to look at. It was very clear how Quan could afford to drop off weapons and ammo to the nearby villages. The white walls were barely visible behind the sea of guns, and it was obvious Quan was ready for whatever fight the world threw at him, even dinosaurs. Were these here before the portal started? I asked. Or was this something you put together when the shit hit the fan?
This has been building for some time, Quan said as he rubbed his scarred neck. Many years before the beasts arrived. I am a man who is always prepared. I would always be prepared to protect my family and employees.
I think you've succeeded, I said, as I wandered further into the room. There's enough for a whole army in here. I examined the various weapons, and it looked like Quan had organized everything into categories. The entire left wall was almost purely dedicated to K2s, and I guessed his contact in the government might keep him supplied with those. Alongside them were what looked like sniper rifles, which had the same company logo on the stock.
Those are our K14s, Quan said. Standard-issue sniper rifle for our army.
And for your base, I grinned. I know you say you're owed a lot of favors, but I would love to hear about why someday.
Not sure I could tell you such things, Quan smirked. Even with my family, there are secrets best kept to myself. No need for them to have nightmares. It is the job of the man to take that burden on his shoulders and give his woman a good and happy life.
Yeah, I muttered under my breath.
But if you ever need anything from here, please feel free to help yourself, Heiwan's dad offered. I know you have advanced Aryan weapons, but perhaps you will need backup one day.
It's always good to have options, I nodded. Then my eyes fell on the section of swords over on the back wall, and I wondered if they were for decoration or actually intended for fighting.
Those are specially crafted, Quan said as he followed me. The man who makes these has done so all his life, and he molded the hilts specifically for my hand size and shape.
Of course he did, I chuckled. Why have just one sword when you can have a personalized one?
Precisely, Quan agreed.
And he said this without a scrap of irony in his gravelly tone. The brown hilts were all detailed with intricate patterns, and some had swirly shapes while others had Korean writing ingrained on them. The blades glistened under the light, and they all shared a slight curve in the middle. They were beautiful, and even though they wouldn't be as powerful as the alien version, I just knew Quan would be able to do some serious damage with them.
"We should get back," the Korean man said. "The ladies may think I have kidnapped you."
I was slightly concerned that would happen, I grinned. Being taken down to a secret basement by your new father-in-law could be seen as risky. Quan laughed, and the gravelly sound still sent a shiver down my spine even as I laughed with him. Then he ushered me back out into the showroom, and I stared over at my new Porsche as we walked. The black paint looked like it had tiny gold flecks under the bright lights, and I couldn't wait to tell the girls about my wedding gift. I also wondered if I would have to wait until morning to see them all, but after a gift like this, I really didn't want to step out of line around the Underground King. We stepped out onto the matte black landing, and Quan carefully locked the garage behind him before he zipped the key into his jacket pocket. The elevator was still down at our level, and I hit the button for the lobby as we stepped inside. "Thank you," I said as we shot past concrete walls. "For everything, I mean, especially for the Porsche, but for standing up for Adhara, too. I really appreciate it." Quan nodded, and he folded his arms as we reached the lobby. I stepped out, but Quan didn't follow.
"I have some more business to deal with," he said. "Good night, Jason."
"Good night," I replied, as the door slid shut, and the elevator kept going upward. I figured he might be going to check on the new structure to hide the base entrance, or maybe he was heading up to the bar and spa to relax after a long day. Either way, I was on cloud nine as I waltzed past Quan's massive stone dragon and down the men's corridor. I'd won over my mafia boss father-in-law, gotten engaged yet again, and just secured a fucking Porsche for after the apocalypse. It was crazy to think about how perfect life was despite all the blood and guts we'd been swimming in lately. And, considering the circumstances, I felt like shit could only keep getting better from here. I yawned as I swiped my keycard on the door of my room, but I was surprised to see the bedside lamp was already on inside. I quickly realized the reason for the lightning was the fact Becca and Haywan were curled up on my bed waiting for me. They had the television on and were laid out in nothing but their panties with their breasts completely bare.
"Hey, hubby,"
Becca purred as she twirled a strand of blonde hair.
"We were hoping you would be back soon. Hoodie up,"
Haywan giggled.
"We had to warm up without you."
I grinned as I closed the door behind me, and I guessed my life was in fact about to get a hell of a lot better.